Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And tonight we have another great show dealing with metaphysics and spirituality, of course, but also about how to stay healthy using concepts in metaphysics and spirituality. Yes, there are things that you can do. If you are not feeling well, or if you have been having trouble staying well, if you think you're aging too quickly, tonight's a show that hopefully will make you feel better. We can do some things about that. I hope so. And also, if you're concerned about just being able to maintain your senses and longevity and the ability to not only live longer but better, I think you'll find tonight's show also very helpful. Now, what are some of the principles? This is the part that I like, principles, that apply in helping people to stay well, get well, etc., using metaphysics. And, oh, by the way, if you want to call in, and if you have any issues dealing with tonight's subject, please do, 877-876-5227 will get you to us if you are in the U.S. Now, if you're calling from Canada, try us at 888-815-9756. Yes, you can call either of those numbers, depending upon where you are, and you can join in. Now, what are some of the principles that apply? Let me tell you, first of all, if you've been listening for the last 5 weeks or so, or this is the sixth, I think, that I've been on BBS right here, you probably have heard me mention retained energy. Now, what the heck is retained energy? It sounds like some kind of strange thing. It gets retained, it gets stuck in you or something. Actually, energy follows thought to some level. Depends upon where you exist in the universe, how much that level is, and what kind of thought you have. In most cases, people who physically are alive, that's us, I'm one of you, one of us, right, have energy follow thought only a very slight amount. However, here's an interesting point. Because so much energy is going through our senses all the time, because that's how you sense something. We can sense things because our sense attracts a little tiny bit of energy from something else, and that little bit of energy tells us what that something else is. I bet you didn't know that, unless you've been listening. That's what a sense does. Well, the thing is that the energy doesn't just come in and, you know, it vanish. It has to be processed, and it's processed by converting it into knowledge. That's if we choose to use it that way and think, or it sometimes just hangs around. And if it hangs around because we're not thinking as much, we're not creative enough in our thinking, we're not thinking in a direction like our creator tends to think, I call that creating virtue, in our thought, then the energy tends to become retained. That's what retention means. It tends to not go somewhere else. Now, if it's following the thought in general of our creator, but it isn't copying the creator's thought, you never want to copy anyone's thought. You want to think for yourself and be a free thinker. But if it's in the general direction of the creator's thought, the good news is that its thought, that creator, is always to be of some help and service to others and help them to think creatively and freely and to do all those good things. So if we are doing that, we're spiritually serving, then the wonderful thing about it is the energy doesn't hang around. It doesn't get stuck inside of us, because then it's being used in a way that is virtuous. And when the energy leaves us, it leaves us, if we're really focused out on this service business, at the speed of light. And when it does that, it enlightens us and those that it touches. Isn't that a wonderful thing? It is. Now, the enlightenment process is a slow one, because generally speaking, we are sensing all the time, all the time. It's like, you know, it's very difficult not to sense if you're conscious. I mean, you really have to be almost comatose to not be sensing. So the sensing thing is going on all the time, and how often then are we actually creatively serving, freely thinking and serving like our creator, but not copying any one part of the thought, but being creative ourselves? How often are we doing that? Well, you have to answer that question. I can answer it for me, and I can say not enough. Because if I was doing it all the time, I would be probably not a human being anymore. And neither would you. Now, that's not a bad thing. If you're not a human being, you become a superhuman being, and you get super abilities, and you can do wonderful things, and you don't suffer like human beings do. Those are good things. But since we all generally, by being human, and by being in illusion and making tremendous mistakes, we most of the time are retaining some of the energy that we sense. That retention of energy is the bad guy. That's the problem. The same energy that can enlighten us and others can also become retained within our senses and then eventually in our bodies and our organs and all the parts of us that do everything that we think is so important to stay alive, and makes us ill, makes us sick. Mm-hmm. It also causes aging. It decreases our ability to sense. It's sort of like self-protective. The more you sense and use it badly, the less you can sense in the future. There's good news about that, so at least you can, you still got some sense left because you're using less and less of it each day of your life. But that's a good thing, I guess. But the problem is that in the long run, it still is a kind of like a clock running down. And you're running down and going slower and sensing less and less capable. And then, yeah, and eventually, we all know what the end of that is. It's called death of the physical body in this case. And, of course, we can go live in another dimension of time and space in a different body of energy where energy kind of reacts differently. And then that body might last longer and do better. But for us here right now, if we want to stay more well, we must change the way we think, because energy is following our thought. And if we think in ways that are creative and in the direction of helping others and serving others, which is what our Creator itself is doing and has done in the past, that will help us in general to stay well. Now, I hope this idea, in general, makes some sense to you. If it doesn't, give me a call, because we can talk about it. And I'd be glad to discuss other ideas that people have, such as the allopathic model. What is an allopathic model? Well, that's the model that things come in and make you sick. Those things are just bad things, and there's no rational reason for why they do. They just come around and they make us sick. Those who have good immunity systems generally can stay healthier than those who don't, but there's no real understanding about what that means either in terms of, well, why does this person seem to get sick and another person doesn't? They both seem to be well to begin with. Well, they say, well, one has a better immunity system than the other about a certain illness. So, you know, if you really follow up on that, it doesn't turn out to be completely true. But it's an interesting model, and that's the model most people are familiar with if they live in the western parts of our planet. That's a normal way that people think, the allopathic model. Now, there are other models. There's a homeopathic model, which says something in fairly much the opposite in many respects, sort of like taking the allopathic model and turning it on its head. And it says that basically, if you feed or give energy to a pathogenic substance, be it a virus or a fungus or maybe a bacteria, and you allow the body to recover while you're giving it this energy, these little tiny pellets of things, substances that those things like to eat, they stop eating us as much, and it gives us our bodies a chance to recover and to rebalance themselves. It's not as strange as it seems, and it actually tends to work with some people sometimes. It doesn't work all the time, and it doesn't work certainly on all people. Now, the other kinds of models that work really interesting are herbal medicines and Eastern medicine that talks about energy as a living force that moves through us and that gets stagnant and retained. Sound familiar? Yes. The model that I'm proposing is much more Eastern in its flavor, in the way it both functions and the way it is, than the allopathic model. But I'm joining the two together. I'm not ignoring the science issues that are common in the allopathic model, because there are some things in it that actually do sometimes apply on a limited basis, specifically if we're talking about a very narrow range of diseases that you only look at just the symptoms themselves. Treating those symptoms allopathically sometimes can be very effective. Sometimes it's necessary, because if we don't treat the symptoms can be fatal. If you're going to try herbal medicines, which I will talk about in today's show, and other things, you got to be aware that those things take longer to work. And by the time they work, if you're really sick to begin with, you might not make it. Also, allopathic medicine tends to be great when someone has a trauma, a sudden structural change caused by maybe misperception. Misperception, by the way, is caused by retained energy. There we go again. But let's say someone has misperception and they cause an accident and they break a bone, this or that. Allopathic medicine is very good for that. It doesn't mean you can't use the other kinds of medicines, but you have to kind of look and see which is going to make the most sense. So in other words, if you break your leg, instead of taking herbs for a month, I suggest you go and get the leg x-rayed and probably splinted or something. The reason x-ray is because you don't want to splint it in a way in which it's not set right. I don't like x-rays myself, but you got to know what's going on in there. And so that's what makes kind of sense. And then take the herbs, by the way. And the herbs and other things might tend to make it heal faster, but you wouldn't want to have your leg heal faster while it was misset, because then you'd walk with a limp or something else like that. That wouldn't be any fun. No. Okay, so you can understand why these different kinds of medicines can be complementary. They can work together to be helpful. That's what my thinking is anyway. So I'm not against anything. I'm really more for things. Hopefully that's coming through. All right. Now, what can be done to improve a person's health in general? We all have different issues because we tend to use our senses selfishly in different ways. Isn't it interesting? The personality part of us, which is the most subconscious part of us, is relatively selfish in unique ways. That's why we are uniquely individual, as we call it. We say, well, that person's got a real personality, you know, a real personality type of different kind of person. Well, those differences are most often due to selfish interests of the person rather than loving, virtuous interests. That's the odd part about it. So human beings are very strange, because what makes us so individual and different is how we are uniquely selfish. And of course, that means we are uniquely ill and uniquely senseless and uniquely have injuries and create accidents and problems and mistakes. How do you like that? And in order to solve those kinds of issues, I can't give cookie cutter answers to any problem, because what might work on one person will not necessarily work on another. It might do the opposite. So instead, I've got my ideas today are to come up with general ideas, general concepts that can be applied creatively by thinking more by all of you out there. Isn't that great? So you can take what I'm going to suggest in the rest of today's show and really produce a we'll call it a kind of patterned idea but still something that's unique for yourself by going through sort of a list, I'll call it, of the things that you might be doing wrong and how you can make corrections that will solve problems. I'm going to go through the body and certain diseases and give you certain ideas today. I've never done a show like this. This is the first time. It's really interesting because I do shows in these general topic areas, but I always do something kind of different. And that's because I want to think creatively, and I want to be able to make sure that I'm following my own advice. I hope so. And so I will stay healthy and everything else. Yes. Okay, so for the rest of today's show, I'm going to go through some systems and talk about how a person with certain kinds of ailments and or problems can make some changes, but not cookie cutters. Not say, well, follow this and do exactly that, but just to think about generally what they might be doing wrong and how they can improve upon it. So we are at that time, when it is time to go and have about a 2.5-minute break. I will be back in about that much time, and we will continue to discuss this subject.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. ViroPel is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about ViroPel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. ViroPel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of ViroPel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives ViroPel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase ViroPel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit ViroPel, that's ViruPel.org.
Well, we are back. This is Niles McFlower for Why Life Is. And today we are talking about how to improve our health, improve our general, we'll say, sense and ability to make fewer mistakes, hopefully, live longer, and enjoy the life we have. But at the same time, to enlighten ourselves and others and create what I would call a new lifestyle. And let me start with some ideas, some thoughts, so that we can all think about it. I'm just going to randomly talk about some issues because I'm sure some of these will touch our various listeners. And again, I haven't done a show quite like this before, so this is kind of I do these things impromptu. So if I get stuck, well, you can call and help me out maybe. But let's start with something like allergies. I know a lot of people who have them. And what is an allergy? An allergy is where the immune system of a person is acting out against something that is not particularly harmful to that person. It may even be helpful, but the immune system decides, I don't like that thing, and it starts acting up. Now, what is it that causes that kind of reaction in a person? And most immune system problems take place because there's an imbalance in one of the chakras called the sacral center, okay? And this center tends to make us innerly reflective, which is a good thing, and gives us the ability to understand ourselves and others from a more spiritual perspective. It also tends to make us more balanced between material and spiritual issues in our life, if it's working properly, and it gives us a, we'll say, a connection to the a sense of balance within ourselves, which is a good thing to have. And this is going to sound a little bit strange, but it also affects our sense of smell. Well, you might say, well, how does that do? Well, it's kind of, I'm not going to go into all of that today. But I think the important thing is that it tends to also affect, unfortunately, when the immune system goes haywire, a system called the development of histamine, which is a chemical in the body that tends to try to cause things to get stuck in various areas to prevent them from hurting us. It makes our lymph system kind of stickier and less able to process things because what it wants to do is kind of catch a lot of bad guys, okay, the bad things that are making us ill, and so it produces that as well. And you say to yourself, well, okay, I kind of got that because I know I take an antihistamine sometimes if I'm having an allergic reaction. That's true. But it also lowers our resistance to, well, almost everything, to take antihistamines. You may not know that, but it's a true statement, what I just told you. Okay, so now, how do we deal with the sacral center, since this is generally the center that is the culprit behind most allergic reactions, okay? Well, you know, the interesting thing is the sacral center gets out of whack when the personality tends to use it more for material gain, to look good to others, than to be reflective on itself and look bad to ourselves, and maybe to others as well, but to look bad in our own reflection of ourselves so we can improve. So in other words, when we don't want to really see the ugliness inside, and when we don't want to be that way around others, and when we try to convince others that we're really better than we are, that's when we're more prone to having an allergic response. I bet you didn't ever heard that one before, right? I wanted to pick something that was kind of obscure enough so it would get you guys out there listening, and maybe you want to call me, and you can talk to me about your allergies or anything you want to talk about. I'll have some ideas, believe me. And so the interesting thing is that by becoming more reflective and by becoming more open with others about the things that are wrong with us, by being humble, by accepting responsibility for the things we do wrong, we're much less likely to have an allergic reaction. You never knew that, did you? All right. Now, could you cure a severe allergic reaction on the spot by doing what I just said? No. Then you go to the emergency room or you grab the, you know, Benadryl or whatever, and because the things I'm talking about might take months to change, or if not longer, and you may not have months if you have a really, you know, a really bad reaction. Of course not. I'm talking about the long-term way to solve the problem. And again, this is more Eastern than Western in its approach. But that does not negate that should you be having a significantly difficult reaction to whatever, that you shouldn't look into an immediate response from some allopathic type of medicine or in herbal medicine. I like herbal medicines because sometimes they can work almost as fast or even faster than allopathic, but they balance the whole body and there are almost no side effects. That's what I like about them. Very, very big on herbals. And especially if they are organic and natural, and if you can find someone who knows how to formulate them properly. That's the big problem, because one herb alone is usually not effective, sometimes even a dozen. That's the problem, because the more herbs you use, the more complicated it is to make them work. And you got to have a lot more skill to make that happen. But nonetheless, herbal medicines can be very helpful, even with allergies. Now, there are a few around. There was an Allergy 10 made by a company called High Health here in Arizona, where that's where I'm talking from. And they came up with a product that wasn't too bad. Now, I'm associated with a company called Alternative Health Approaches. I do some of the formulating, yes. And we don't have yet for sale. We're barely really doing much of anything except getting ready to do a lot of this stuff. But we don't have any product for sale dealing with allergies, but we will. We will, I promise. And when we do, that formula, I think, will be one of the most effective formulas out there, because it is going to involve so many balancing centers, and especially understanding the relationship of the sacral center to the rest of the body. So, while, you know, I'm not telling people to not take anything or do anything or to take something, but I am saying that, you know, when this other product is available, give it a try, because I think it might actually be of some help for some people. All right, but the most important thing, besides taking medicines, and medicines are good, and herbal medicines I think are great, but besides that, being more reflective will be helpful, and give it a try. I would love for you to try and let me know about it. Email me or call me. Hey, yeah, I would love to hear back about what people think about these things that I am suggesting. Okay, let's move on, because there's a lot of parts of the body to cover. Yes. How about let's switch to another chakra. I like different chakras. They do so many different things. Let's take the chakra that deals with the processing of oxygen and also our skin. Both, believe it or not, are connected together. That's a third ray chakra called the throat chakra. Yeah, third ray. Remember, the sacral center was a fourth ray chakra. I forgot to maybe emphasize that. Yes, but that's a type of energy that it processes. So these energies respond to the corresponding chakras, and they're called ray focus because they start off coming from the thought of great being someplace else in the universe. Regardless, it doesn't matter. The important thing is that this third ray energy is very, very active energy. And what gets it out of whack is when a person tends to use wrong speech and tends to miscommunicate deliberately with people in order to gain control and power and wealth and all those kinds of things that people want to do, I guess. And also, if a person tends to disguise their communication or confuse deliberately their communication, it could really affect them that way. Now, what are the results of that? What kind of diseases come out of this? Well, besides affecting our sense of taste, it also affects our ability to breathe and to have clear lungs and all that stuff and sinuses. And so the interesting thing about it is that if a person tends to do what I just said in a wrong way, the results can be that they leave themselves open for colds and flus. Yeah, they leave themselves open for some diseases that affect the skin as well. And so all of this comes into play, and it's pretty important to understand that there is a way to change it, and that you can do much, much better for yourself. And this is one of the areas that most people right now are having a big trouble with, because while this part of us was being helped for hundreds and hundreds of years, it's now slowly, it's reaching its peak, and then it's going to decline. And some people are starting to sense that, and so we have this third ray energy really being abused, misused. A lot of propaganda, a lot of spinning of things. You know, they talk about spin and how people are dishonest in the way that they express concepts and thoughts, etc. All right, so what can we do? The first is to make sure that our speech only serves and helps others rather than to harm them. You don't want to say anything that's going to harm anybody. And you want to communicate in other ways besides speech. Because most of the things we communicate are really not through actual words. They're through the tone of voice. How and when our timing is for expression of something. When we say something is just as important as what we say. And so all these things come to play. And it's very important to try to make that part of us more virtuous. And then we'll get sick less often in the ways that I just said. Now, isn't that fascinating? I find it is. So there's a direct relationship between these elements in our life. Now, I would like all of you to test these theories out. I don't want you to believe me. I want you to test me and the theories in your own life and see if this is true for you. That's the best way to know. Because after all, I could be wrong. Maybe I'm right for most people, but not you. You know, you'll find out by trying. That's the thing to do. Okay, let's take another area of the body, another kind of disease. A lot of people have problems with their vision and with how their eyes are working. They have problems with their eyes either being too nearsighted, farsighted, presbyopia, which is this kind of nearsighted, which is kind of being unable to see things up close as you get older because of the lens becoming inflexible and growing and all kinds of other weird things. And so all this stuff goes on, and then there's some kinds of really serious eye ailments, such as macular degeneration, where a person literally loses the ability to keep their retina intact, and they eventually lose their sight. I mean, just terrible things can happen. Glaucoma. All of these issues, all of these diseases are related to the Ajna Center, which is the brow chakra. I'm sure some of you have heard that name, which really is right on your forehead above the brow line, above where the eyes are, in the middle of your head, in the middle of your forehead anyway. And so that's where this chakra is. Now, the chakra is actually in electromagnetic or etheric space. It's not physically on your physical body. It's sort of a few inches outside of it, and you can't normally see it. But that's where it is. And that chakra also affects our ability to think about things in a concrete way and to use logic in our thinking. Yeah. So there's a lot of connections here between thought itself and how our eyes are going to go. And people who are nearsighted tend to think, this is going to sound strange, in ways that are very nearsighted. And people who are farsighted tend to notice the things that are close to them. And this is weird, but it's true. It actually produces these effects. Beyond that, which is maybe the silliest thing that I said, but beyond that, it also affects generally the ability for a person to concretely take a concept and make it into an example of that concept that clearly defines and explains how the concept works. And that's where people create the most problems for themselves, especially when it affects their eyes, when people are not using a concept in a way that's concrete and an example that works, that clearly is an expression without contradiction of the concept. And I know people do this all the time. And when they do, they mess up their vision over time. Yeah, they do. It creates all kinds of different eye problems. Well, this second segment went by rather quickly. So when we come back, I'll go into some other ideas, which I hope are really going to be helpful. And we will be back in about 2.5 minutes to further discuss this. If you want to call in, please do, because I'm here to talk about anything that you might want to talk about dealing with metaphysics and spirituality, and especially today with health. So we'll be back in 2.5 minutes.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Let me tell you about most supplements that help support joint health, movement, and ease. They usually contain a few helpful substances that work on some people moderately well. For many others, these levels of help are either not enough or are not helpful at all. But there is a product that contains 36 different high-potency and very effective ingredients that support overall joint health, movement, and ease when moving. It's Freedom of Movement by Alternative Health Approaches, and it works in many different ways. This formula is critically balanced to synergistically and dramatically improve joint movement through supportive health, and usually within several hours. The relief generally lasts for an entire day and over time can be permanent. Freedom of Movement comes with a money-back guarantee. Even shipping is refunded for the first bottle. This unique formulation has helped thousands to maintain joint health. The price is $24.95 for a 90-caplet bottle. It's available from Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. Give this powerful all-natural supplement a try if you haven't found relief from other sources. That's Freedom of Movement. Call 800-777-7850.
Well, this is Niles McFlower, and I'm back. Yep. And hopefully you've been thinking about some of the things I've been saying. Now, if you want to call in, please do, really. I mean, you can talk about things that are really wrong with you if you want, or talk about somebody else if you want. But it's okay. I mean, I'm here, and I may even have something that might be of help to you. Now, I'm going to continue on. I'm going to talk about hearts and heart disease and high blood pressure and all that kind of stuff. Those are things that are pretty serious, and actually, I from what I understand, more people die in Western culture from heart disease than any other. And then we'll also talk about cancer. Yeah, I'm the big C word. I'm going to bring that in too. And you're going to say, cancer, the FDA is going to come and get them. They might. I don't know. I take chances, you know. You got to be careful in this side of the world, you know. But at any rate, let's talk about heart disease to begin with. That's the heart chakra. Well, that was a dead giveaway, wasn't it? It's the heart chakra, yeah. And how does it, what does it do? I mean, what does it do that gets messed up? Well, the heart chakra tells us how to understand God. It tells us, gives us a sense of what our Creator is like. And it's because it has consciousness attached to it. There are very few animals that even have a heart chakra that's functional, but they don't have any consciousness connected to it. That means they can't understand the information that they get from the heart chakra, because the heart chakra tells them things about God, and they don't know what that's about. But it tells them other things, too. There are supplemental parts of information that come through on a lower level, such as how to love animals similar to themselves. And they do that. They love their own kind. They love kinds that are sometimes similar, which is wonderful. But they just can't love God. Well, that's their problem. It's not ours, though. Not unless our heart chakra is not working too well. So let's say you have heart disease. Now, I don't want to get too political here, but I got to tell you the truth. If you have heart disease, or you know somebody who does, they have not been really using their understanding of God very well, and that's not a good thing. Now, they're going to say, well, I go to church, or I do this, and I know. And listen, I'm not going to argue. I'm just telling you how it works. And in order to improve that condition, we must be better understanding of our Creator in ourselves and in others. And then, of course, do something to help others do the same. Remember, this is not just about ourselves. This is about service to others. And that's the enlightenment part. Isn't that wonderful? That does several things, which are really good things, by the way. The first thing it does is it strengthens the heart. It allows the heart to beat more regularly and to maintain itself, clear out arteries and problems that people have from sometimes nutrition. But, you know, I have to tell you, I think it's still much more spiritually related than what you eat. I'm not telling you not to eat. Eat bad things, to get rid of the trans fats. Sure, I get rid of those trans fats in a second. Sugar may be worse than trans fats. Table sugar. So, you know, sucrose. So if you're eating a lot of that, I would try not to, because that's what clogs things up, in my opinion. But at any rate, if you really want to get rid of the energy that causes the problem, and think about clogged arteries being clogged with energy. The energy is this material. It's become really dense energy, and it's clogging up the arteries. So all of those things can be solved through the same process, which is to understand the Creator in our own life and that of others more clearly. Now, when used with the sacral center, see, the heart chakra is a second-ray center, and the sacral center is a fourth-ray center. Those two can work together very well, and you can get a bonus by doing that, because the two working together through reflection and understanding can bring together, can come together and clear out the heart even more so. What about high blood pressure? Well, I happen to have created a great formula that lowers blood pressure amazingly and keeps it fairly low. It's a herbal formula, herbal medicine, which I think works really great. But more important than that, and so of course, certainly use that formula again as soon as it's available in general general marketplace. But the more important thing is to consider how you may not, or how someone else you're close with may not, be understanding God in themselves and others. Look for the signs of that and how to make changes in that. If you want to read more, pick up a copy of Life's Hidden Meaning. It deals with some of this information, and it might be of some help to you. Or just call me, email me. You can talk to me about it. You don't have to read anything. I'm available. And so the heart chakra really plays a major role in all of those things, and it plays a major role in any specific blood disease as well. Why? It's a big chakra. It does a lot of different things. And if we're really going to be straight about this, then we have to look at how well we are understanding our own Creator. I'm not talking about understanding things like how to fix a car or maybe how to make more money. I'm talking about understanding our own Creator. And that's a bigger, more difficult subject, isn't it? Okay. Now, I can't get into the complete solution of that because, remember, no cookie cutters. I could tell you something that might work on one person, or 10, or 1,000, but maybe not on any individual listener to the show. Yeah, that is interesting. That's the problem, you see. And it's a creative solution that only each of us, can be involved in, because it requires creative thought, not cookie-cutter thought. All right, let's talk about cancer. That's a terrible disease, isn't it? And cancer scares more people, I think, than any other disease. And I'll tell you one of the reasons why. Cancer is a disease that involves the solar plexus center more than anything else. And it's a disease that is intimately connected with the astral part of our nature, our emotions and feelings. You know, many people are familiar with that concept anyway. And it it really has to do with denial more than anything else. Now, about 10% of all cancers are etheric related, meaning that they're electromagnetically caused by contamination of bad energies around us. That could be from smoking or toxins, Agent Orange, I don't know, whatever you happen to be playing around with that isn't good for you. Those sorts of cancers are completely different than the 90% of cancers caused by denial and by choosing to, we'll say, for emotional reasons, not recognize when it is that one is causing discomfort, pain, suffering, problems for others around them. Yeah. So this is really important. This is really important because in order to change cancer, this is a strange thing, you almost have to become self-forgetful. And yet almost everybody I know who's ever gotten cancer becomes incredibly self-absorbed. Like, oh, I've got cancer. What am I going to do? You know, I'm going to die. Oh, it's a terrible disease. You know, that's the thing that will make it get worse. Nothing's going to probably make it worse than that, because that's part of the problem. And also, when you do focus out more, you have to focus out in the ways that you've been denying that you've been causing harm to others. Because a lot of times people do things that are denial-ridden, but they aren't necessarily causing particularly harm to others. But cancer seems to be, 90% of cancers seem to be encouraged by this denial thing of causing harm to others. So that's a big deal. Now, what about the 10% that come from other sources, that come from the environment, that come from bad lifestyle, that may come from even things from prior lives? Well, you know, those kinds of cancers can be tough to deal with. But interestingly, certain herbal medicines can be even more effective in dealing with them because they actually come from the etheric physical part of the universe instead of the astral part of the universe, which is very difficult for us to deal with while we're physically alive. So it, in some ways, they are seemingly more dangerous and seemingly going to be fatal, but in other ways, if dealt with correctly, can be helpful. Now, I'm going to tell you something about smokers. Some of you out there may smoke cigarettes or whatever you smoke. Smoking is a very serious problem because not only does it cause the cancers of the etheric type, the electromagnetic energies of the body being screwed up and creating negative chi in us from that, but it also produces, in an emotional sense, denial. It allows us to be more in denial. So it can cause cancer from both sides of the equation. That's not good, because those kinds of cancers can be very difficult to deal with, particularly lung cancers. So I caution you, I even plead with you to not smoke anymore. It also blocks the ability for people mentally to completely know when they're being truthful or not. What do you think about that? Now, you're going to probably say, oh, this guy's really off. He's nuts. Yeah. I smoke, and I know when I'm telling the truth. Well, you know, I could tell you that I have found this to be so true, it's unbelievable, that people who smoke have trouble knowing what the truth is and keeping the truth and keeping agreements about the truth. And I would like, especially if you don't smoke and you know smokers, observe them and see if I'm right about this or if I'm wrong. That's, you know, it's a fair game. Hey, check it out. But so that really adds fuel to the whole spiritual fire, you can say, in trying to deal with diseases that these, be it emphysema or cancer or whatever, that these behaviors cause. And they're not just an addiction. They're certainly addictive. Boy, there's almost nothing more addictive than smoking cigarettes. But it isn't just an addiction. It's a way of mentally and emotionally defending yourself that's easy to do, except it has a high pay penalty, we'll say. And that is convenient because it can be done whenever a person is experiencing something they don't want to feel or don't want to think, or when they don't want to know that they're not being truthful. It can cut off our conscience. Ooh. Doesn't sound good to me. Think about it. Okay, what about cancer in general? How can we deal with cancer? Well, cancers need a very complex series of herbs to be dealt with. And the political system in our country says if you dare say that you can treat cancer, they're going to come and they're going to probably hang you and burn you at the cross or burn you at the stake or do something terrible to you. And you, I mean, it's really bad. So guess what? I'm not going to tell you I can do that. That's right. I'm not going to say it because I'd like to live a little longer, and I don't want to be fried at the stake or something. That would be a really bad thing. I don't want to, that isn't my way of going, and it's a bad thing. You know? And so I will tell you, though, that in general, my experience is that the right combination of alternative medical practices can treat most, but not all, even very aggressive cancers. Yes. Now, if you're in stage 4, a pancreatic cancer, which is kills you usually within like 6-8 weeks or something, it's not likely almost anything's going to cure you because there's not enough time. Just not enough time. Cancers are just incredibly aggressive in that way, and they go kind of nutso. Yeah, they do. And the pancreas is connected to the 6-ray energy that cancer tends to like. It's what causes the issues. 6-ray is part of the energies of the astral world, so it's all connected together in a kind of complicated way. Now, what else can you do, though, if you have a somewhat less aggressive cancer than the one I just suggested? Well, you need to know what part of the body that it's in and is attacking, because that tells you where the most amount of imbalance is and where and how you're probably using denial, if it is a denial form of cancer, or where and how you're living in a way that is imbalanced with your environment electromagnetically, causing negative chi energy to collect inside of you. But probably both of those things. And then you have to come up with a really complicated formula to solve the problem. And there may not be very many people who can help you with that. But nonetheless, that's some of the things that can be done. If you can't find a perfect herbal formula, I would suggest diet and changing the focus of your life to being as helpful and less about yourself as possible while you're living. Okay? Now, think about that, and we are already almost out of time. I cannot believe this. I'm just going to let you know that on Monday, July 2nd, I'm going to be talking about supernatural powers over at Glendale Borders, from 7 to 8:15 here in Phoenix. And on Thursday, July 5th, right after the holiday, I'll be talking about intelligent life on other worlds, and that will be at Paradise Valley Mall, Borders, from 7 to 8:15 p.m. Please come if you are in the area. I would love for you to come and join us because that's a wonderful thing. If you can't make it, of course, and you live outside of this general area, that's fine. But also, let me know what you're doing. Let me tell you some of the things I'm doing by giving me a call or emailing me, and also listen next week for another great show, I hope, on metaphysics and spirituality. And until then, this has been Niles McFlower for Why Life Is.